You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, let the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all our hearts flow from your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Did you hear about the pastor that went on a hike? Yeah, there was a pastor that went on a hike. And when he was out there hiking all alone for some solitude, he came upon a bear. And the bear growled at the pastor and started to follow him. And the pastor started to walk faster. And the bear started to run after him, just, you know, foaming at the mouth, claws, talons. This bear meant business. This bear seemed hungry and angry and ready to attack. And so as the pastor was running away, the pastor prayed, "Dear Lord, let this be a Christian bear." And as the pastor ran, he tripped over a log, and there was no hope of escaping at all. It had all gone, and he continued to pray, "Dear Lord, please let this be a Christian bear." And then he began to hear a voice, another prayer. And the prayer he heard was, "Thank you, Father, for this food. Please bless this food that I am about to eat." And he looked up, and there indeed, the bear sat on its knees with its paws perfectly together. The moral of the story is, you may call yourself a Christian, you may pray, but if you feed and devour other people, you might have something to think about. This was a hard week for us who live in the United States. Images on the news of people carrying crosses and banners that said Jesus stormed the Capitol building of the United States, vandalizing, destroying, disrupting a peaceful process. 5 lives have been lost, including a police officer, a veteran of war, and another veteran who was a part of that situation. my understanding that the last time the Capitol building was stormed was in 1814 by the British, who burned it down. Nice thing about history is you can say, well, at least it wasn't that bad. You know, the strategy of storming a sacred building is one that is well documented in history, even in our own Bible. The temple of God in Jerusalem has been sacked and burned twice. Most recently by the Romans, shortly after the time of Jesus, and before that by the Babylonians, 700 years approximately before the time of Jesus. Why do these things happen? Well, on the one hand, it could be a strategy to kind of demoralize the people, to strike fear in their hearts. The other reason why it happens is just not even that intentional. Sometimes a people or a person or a group or whatever is just so focused on something that they want, whether that be power or control or money or whatever. There's nothing personal about it. It's just, if you're in the way, watch out. You might get bulldozed or steamrolled. Sometimes the hateful and hurtful things that are done happen because people, they just want something and somebody's in their way. Even right here on our own campus, about a week ago, a couple weeks ago now, one of our own members, right here, was held up at gunpoint by a criminal that wanted their money and took their wallet. A shameful act right here in our own neighborhood. It's my understanding that that person wanted something. They wanted money. And they were willing to do something dangerous, hurtful, criminal, wrong to get what they want. Jesus, when he went about his own ministry, also was attacked and crucified. Because even though he preached peace, and even though he fed the hungry, and even though he talked about God's unconditional love, he was a problem in the way of some people, so they steamrolled him too, and they crucified him. And so what do you do? What can we do? What can we do as God's people when these things happen? Well, we can look to Jesus as our example. What did he do? Today is the baptism of Jesus Sunday, the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Up until this day in his life, for 30 years, he grew up as a boy, the son of a carpenter. And when he was baptized, God sent him to go preach peace and love, unconditional love of God, to all people. And we can follow in his footsteps and do exactly the same thing. Jesus loved his enemies. He said to turn the other cheek. He said to walk a mile in your neighbor's shoes. If someone asks for your shirt, give him your coat also. Why? Did he want us to be fluff? Do you want us to be a quivering mass without any backbone? No. Jesus loved his enemies to try to evangelize them so that they would know God's unconditional love and that God's love would change their hearts. And we can follow in the same footsteps of Jesus and do this. We are called to evangelize right now, especially with everything happening in the world. This is the time for Christians with a deep faith and trust in their Lord to share God's unconditional love and mercy, to invite people who perhaps have gone astray, who've made a really bad choice. Yeah, there's going to be consequences, but it's never too late to repent and to ask for God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. When Jesus was baptized by John, that was a baptism of forgiveness and repentance. The strange thing is that why would Jesus be baptized for his sins to be forgiven if he never sinned? He didn't need his sins forgiven. But he was baptized anyway because he did need to repent. Sometimes repenting, we think, is like this terrible word, like, ooh, I don't want to repent. Sounds really bad. But it's not. It's really good. All repent means is to change your way, to change the direction that you were going. Jesus, when he grew up from Joseph, he was headed in a good direction. There was nothing wrong with it. Joseph was a carpenter. Jesus had been trained to be a carpenter, and by the time he began his public ministry, he was 30 years old. When you're 30 years old in antiquity, that's like being 50 years old today. When someone's 50 years old today, you still got a lot of life left. But you're probably settled in a career, right? Your life path has 90% likely, it's been set. And so the fact that Jesus repented at 30 years old means that at any stage of life, we can change. What I am suggesting to you this morning, that each of us can repent to follow Jesus more closely in his ministry. No matter what you do, no matter what your occupation is, no matter if you still work or you're retired or if you're a student, if you're an engineer or a nurse, whatever your business is, as a Christian, you are in the business of evangelism, of sharing God's love with every single person on this earth, friends and especially enemies and people that we disagree with. And evangelism is not about beating people up. It's not about shoving in people's faces every wrong thing they did. No. Evangelism is gentle. Look at the example of Paul we read about this morning. Thank you, Maria, for being our lector. Great job. Paul found these new Christians that had been evangelized by Apollos. And he said, how's it going with the Holy Spirit? And they said, well, what's the Holy Spirit? We have no idea what that is. What are you talking about? He goes, you don't know the Holy Spirit and you're a baptized Christian? Except he didn't say it like that. That's my point. He didn't make them feel like they'd done something wrong because they hadn't. He just said, tell me about the baptism that you received. And they said, well, we were baptized in the tradition of John, repentance and forgiving sins. Again, nothing wrong with that. That's good. And Paul affirmed that and he said, well, let me tell you a little bit more to the story. There's another baptism now in the name of Jesus. And when you're baptized in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes on you and you become a child of God, a beloved son and a beloved daughter. He fills in the gaps. He does some backfilling, the knowledge gaps. He fills up for them and they say, well, yeah, give us that. And they're baptized and they receive the Holy Spirit. So when we look and we see a sister or brother who takes the name of Jesus, who claims to be a Christian, these are never anyone we should ever walk away from, but we should say, dear sister and brother, tell me, what is your understanding of the faith? To listen, to understand, to appreciate the things they've got right, and then to say, let me offer some other things for you to think about. That's the work of evangelism. Even if you're evangelizing a sister or brother, a neighbor of a different faith, We're not about beating them up and saying everything that's wrong. No. Tell me about your faith. Tell me, what does it matter to you? What's holy to you? How does it give you meaning? And when the opportunity opens up, we say, well, this is what my faith means. That's what evangelism is. And that's how hearts and minds are changed and deepened and transformed. And it's how we all repent and grow as God's people. Some people say Paul was an entrepreneur. Paul was an entrepreneur, not just because he financed his ministry through his own economic activity, but because he didn't see people he disagreed with as enemies. He saw them as opportunities. An opportunity. When you have the mindset of an entrepreneur, you don't see your competition as your enemy. You think, how can I make them an opportunity? How can we create something new where we all benefit? A rising tide raises all boats. And I submit to you that an evangelist, that a Christian follower of Christ that shares the faith does the same thing. We don't see enemies. We see opportunities. People for us to form new friendships, to deepen our understanding, and for the Holy Spirit to transform us as we share with others, that together we might more closely serve Christ in peace. Now, when Jesus was baptized, all those 30 years he'd learned how to do one thing, his career path was set, and now he was going to do something totally different. He was entering into public ministry. Again, like God is calling each one of us today in our own way to do that public ministry with Jesus. He didn't do it alone. He had help, and we have help too. As soon as Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down, and that Holy Spirit gave him power and wisdom. And that same Holy Spirit falls on each and every one of us today. To help us, to give us the words, to give us the patience and the understanding, just like it did for Jesus. I shared in the children's sermon this morning that the first day of creation sounds a lot like childbirth. You just can't deny it. If you look at Genesis 1, chapters 1 through 4, you hear of childbirth. And in fact, in the tradition of baptism, in our baptismal font inside, and in most baptismal fonts, they are placed on an octagon, an eight-sided symbol. Because baptism is seen as the eighth day of creation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the whole world is created. And the eighth day is the day of Jesus' resurrection. It's the day of Jesus' birth. It's the day when we are baptized and we are born a new spiritual creation. Like it says in Genesis chapter 1, you go through all seven and then you start over again. On the eighth day, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void. Imagine a baby child in the womb. It's a formless void. It's all soft and dark and warm, and that mother is giving and sacrificing her own body to bring this life into being, and yet it is a formless void. And then when the time finally comes for a child to come into the world, yes, the Spirit of God comes in. And comes over the water, and the water is released. Something's going to happen. And then finally, when that child comes into the world, it sees light for the first time. Let there be light. When before it was all darkness and soft and formless, now there's light and there's dark. There's day and there's night, and it's good. And that doesn't just happen when we're physically born. That happens when we're baptized. When you were baptized, you were made a new creation. When Jesus was baptized, God sent the Spirit down and he was a new creation. And even when we see chaos and difficult things happening in our world, God is still making a new creation. We have hope. God is not giving up on this world, not on this country, not on any people. God is still creating, still making new life. The Spirit is falling on us, and God looks to each and every single person. When we see the Holy Spirit, when the waters of baptism fall on us, God looks at each and every single one of us and says, "You are my beloved son, daughter. With you, I am well pleased. You are God's beloved." Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.